Luke chapter number 19. The Bible is going to give us a verse here to think about and to meditate upon. And we're going to look at several places in the Bible today and look at the thought, the man that God is looking for. That's going to be the message today. The man that God is looking for. Now, when you go down to the post office, they have some posters printed up normally. And there'll be a man or a woman that the FBI is looking for. Or that the law enforcement in that town is looking for. Back in the old Western days, they used to hang up a picture and it would say reward. And they'd be looking for somebody. And sometimes a poster would say wanted, dead or alive. And there's some people that God is looking for in the Bible that I want to share with you today. And I trust it'll be a blessing. In Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, I'll read verse 9. Jesus said unto him, he's speaking here to Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house. I'll tell you, that's the happiest day in any house, in any life, when salvation comes to the house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham, the word of God said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You remember a time when Jesus was walking along with his disciples and the disciples didn't like it because Jesus was rejected. And so Peter looked over at Jesus and he said, Lord, wilt thou that we pray fire down from heaven on them? And Jesus said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. He said, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I want to look this morning in several occasions in the Word of God about the man that God is looking for. Let's pray before we get started. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, God, for everyone that's come this way. Lord, it just thrills me to know that before you ever made the world, you knew who would be sitting in this service today. You knew the need of every heart and every life. And God, I pray today that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Zacchaeus here in the Bible had climbed up in a sycamore tree so that he could see the Lord. He was a man of short stature, and Jesus was coming by. And the Word of God said that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'll not spend a lot of time on this first one in the message, but the first man that God is looking for is that fallen man. And God knew, listen carefully, God knew when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. God knew that there would be a need for him to come looking for that fallen man. All of us have fallen into sin. The Word of God said there's none righteous, no, not one. The Word of God said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God is looking for the fallen man. In Matthew chapter 1, the Bible said, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why he came. The Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them, the Bible said. Paul said it like this. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Let me just say this morning. I feel sorry for churches where sinners aren't welcome. That's what God come looking for, amen. That's the reason we're on the hill, amen. Is to say to a lost and a dying world, there's a God that's alive and well. His Son gave his life on an old rugged cross. And when we trust him, we can be saved by the grace of God. God is looking for that fallen man. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 12, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep
and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that one which is gone astray? I just want to say this morning, oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. He came my way that night 30 years ago. Amen. I wasn't looking for him that night, but thank God he was looking for me. I was lost. I used to run into men in prison, and many of them would say, preacher, I found the Lord. I'd say to him, I didn't know he was lost. Honey, we're the ones that was lost. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. Thank God he came to me. Amen. The man that God is looking for is the fallen man. And let me give you the second man that God is looking for. Turn with me over to Luke chapter number 15. There are men in our community, women in our community, that God is looking for this morning. They have fallen. But there's another man that God is looking for. He's looking for that far country man. You say, preacher, what do you mean? In Luke chapter number 15, you know the story. The Bible said a certain man had two sons in verse 11. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. He ran through all of it. You say, how do you know? Look at verse 14. And when they had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck. You say, preacher, why did the father see him? I'll tell you why. Because the father was looking for him. Honey, listen, if you've ever had a youngin' in the far country, I want you to know you're looking for that youngin'. Amen. And God says, listen, there's a fallen man he's looking for, but there's a far country man, a man that's went, and he's went off into a far country. He's wasted, beloved, his living on riotous living. And listen to what the Bible is saying here in the story of the prodigal son. I believe there's a dual application. I believe the primary application is a man that's lost and needs to be saved. But I believe there's an application also to a man that's been saved by the grace of God. And like the songwriter said, he's wandered far away from God. And he says, Lord, I'm coming home. Oh, happy day, when a man that's wandered away from the Lord decides, beloved, that he's going to come home. Look here in the Word of God with me in this story. There was a man, number one, that wanted. Watch what the Bible said in verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. This young man, in his pride, he wants what's coming to him. He says, Lord, he says, Father, I don't want to wait on my inheritance. Just give it to me right now. Whatever I've got coming to me, give it to me. And he wanted it. Let me just say this. I'm saying this as a word of warning to young people. Sometimes young people get in trouble because they fall in love and they get married and they want what mom and dad's got. But it took mom and dad 40 years to work and labor and get what they've got. And beloved, sometimes if you're not careful, you'll get in over your head. Want can hurt you sometimes. Amen. But here he wanted it. He wanted what he had coming to him. And then not only is he wanting in verse number 12, but look in verse number 14. He spent it all. And there arose a mighty famine in the land. and he began to be in want. There's a different attitude now. He's not proud now. He's not arrogant now. But beloved, he's been in the far country. He's already wasted everything that his father's given him. Are you listening to me? Oh, beloved friend, in our community, in our families, all around the world, there are people that God has given a great gift, and they have wasted what God has given them. They've wasted it on riotous living. And beloved, listen, this young man now is poor and wretched and miserable and blind, but he has enough sense to say, hey, I've got a father. I've got a home to go to. Aren't you glad? Thank God Almighty that God allows U-turns, allows us to turn around, amen, when we're headed in the wrong direction. Watch what the Bible said here. He was a man that wanted. In verse number 13, he was a man that wasted. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, you get on over there later. I don't know how the older son knows this, but he said he devoured his living with harlots. That's what the Word of God said. Amen. And beloved, listen, he has wasted. He's wasted his resources. He has wasted his time. Beloved, I was saved when I was 27 years old. One of the things that I'll never forget is how I felt that night. Why in the world? Why in the world did I wait so long? And why have I wasted so much of my life? I remember telling God just in a day or two after he saved me. I said, God, I've wasted 27 years. And if you'll give me 27 more, I want to spend them serving you. Amen. And thank God he's allowed me to do that. He was a man that wanted. He was a man that wasted. But listen, this is the good part of the story. He was a man that woke up. Aren't you glad? Thank God every once in a while. Amen. The Lord will help us to wake up. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 17. The Bible said, and when he came to himself, he said, by the way, let me say this. That this man doesn't get any credit even for this. Like you said this morning, Brother John, in Sunday school, I believe he had a visit out there in the far country. I believe the Lord visited with him out there and caused him to come to his senses and come to himself. And he said here, when he woke up, he said, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He's feeling foolish for what he's done. But let me tell you something right now. Beloved, listen, you can bring that to the Father, and the Father will help you. Amen. Thank God this morning. Here's a man that wasted, yes, but he woke up and realized there was a father at home that was waiting on him. Oh, beloved friend, it's a blessing. He wanted, he wasted, he woke up. But then this is probably one of the greatest things in the story. Look at verse 21 down through verse number 23. Well, let me read in verse 19. He's going to say, verse 18, I'm going to rise and go to my father. Verse 19, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. This man realized, listen, that the servants back home had it better than he did in the far country. And he said, I'm going home. And he arose and he came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now let me ask you something. What do you think a man smells like that's been out there in the hog pen? My guess is he smells like hogs. But you know what? The father didn't care. What do you reckon a man looked like that had been out there in the hog pen? You know what? The father didn't care. The father was looking for him. Beloved, it'll be a happy day in your life when you can look beyond what's on the outside of any man and see that inside is a heart, is a soul that God loves, amen, and gave himself for. Oh, beloved friend, he said here, he saw him. You want to know why he saw him? He was a great way off. He recognized him. Beloved, listen, I may not know who you are. I may not know what you need. But I have a Father that knows exactly what you need. I have a Father that knows exactly where you are. I have a Father that loves you. And He's looking for you. He's not only looking for the fallen man, but He's looking for the far country man. Look at verse 21. And the Son said unto Him, Father, I have sinned. By the way, let me just say this. I believe that's the three hardest words to say in the English language. I have sinned. Let me ask you something. Is there anybody in here? Forget about a year ago. Forget about 10 years ago. Is there anybody in here that could just take a little examination of your life in the last week or so, the last day or so, and say, Father, I have sinned. You want to see, preacher? What are you trying to say? The Bible said if we say we're without sin, we're lying. The truth is not in us. Now listen, we may not be in the far country, but the Father wants us to know that we can say those three words to Him. He's not waiting with a club. He said, get the robe, get the ring, kill the fattened calf. My son's been gone. He's coming home. We're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate. Here is a man that was welcomed. The Bible said here, his father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf. Kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Honey, they were going to have steak. Glory to God. Amen. They were going to eat the best. Because that son that was in the far country had come home. The man God's looking for. Let me say this. This is a man that's a winner. Beloved, someone told Brother Bob about a week ago before he passed. Either way, Brother, they were talking to Brother Bob. Brother Bob said, I win either way. I'm a winner either way. I'm going to tell you what, when a man comes to himself, listen, the far country, listen to me carefully, is a losing proposition. You're losing your testimony. You're losing your influence on others. You're losing a reward in heaven. But when a man comes to himself and says, hey, I'm going home. There's a Father looking for me. And beloved, listen, when God puts that in a man's heart, that man's about to win like he's never won before in his life. He's a winner. Oh, beloved friend, the man that God is looking for, he's looking for the fallen man. He's looking for that far country man. Let me give you this. God's looking for the faithful man. Turn with me, if you will, back over to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 22 and verse number 30. Ezekiel chapter number 22 and verse number 30. Sister Mary was telling me a while ago that Brother Larry's sick. I rode in a vehicle with him yesterday. And if he give me that junk, I'm going to whoop him. Amen. I'll get Sister Mary to hold him while I whoop him. I probably couldn't whoop him if she don't hold him. Amen. That old junk going around everywhere. A man, God is looking for that faithful man. In Ezekiel chapter number 22 and verse number 30, the Bible said, and I sought a man. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. This is a sad commentary. Ezekiel said, but I found none. I found none. God is looking for a faithful man. Number one, He's looking for a man that will worship. The Bible said the Father seeketh such to worship Him. But number two, in Ezekiel, God is looking for a man that will stand in the gap. How many understands that there's a place called heaven? How many understands there's a place called hell? How many understands that we're right now standing in the gap between a place called heaven and a place called hell? And God said, I'm looking for a man to make up the hedge. I'm looking for a man that'll be faithful. A man that will stand in the gap. A man that will sound the warning. A man that will love sinners. A man that will show them the way of salvation. God is looking for a man this morning. He's looking for a man. He's looking for the fallen man. He's looking for the far country man. He's looking for the faithful man. Isaiah 6 and verse number 8. The Bible said this. I heard a voice, the voice of the Lord. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Brother Steve, we would never even have to announce visitation again if we heard the voice from the Lord. We could hear the pastor's voice. We could hear the Sunday school teacher's voice. We could hear Brother Brian's voice making the announcements. But if we could just hear a voice, God said, whom will go for us? Whom shall I send? Isaiah, we heard about in Sunday school, had that encounter with God. And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Isaiah was a willing vessel. Isaiah was a clean vessel. God purged him. God cleaned him up. Why? Because he was willing to admit, I'm unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. God is looking for that man that will be faithful. I sought a man from among them that I should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land that I should not destroy it. I wonder this morning, you understand when I'm talking about a man that we're talking about men and women. I wonder who's going to stand in the gap for your family. Who's going to stand in the gap for your friends? Who's going to stand in the gap for this community? Who's going to stand in the gap and say, God, I want to be used. I want to be a faithful man. I want to be a faithful woman. I want to be the one, Lord, you can count on. And then the next thing I see in the scripture, God is looking for the forgotten man. In Ezekiel chapter 34, the Bible said, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. You say, preacher, what's this talking about? Listen, there's not much said about this in this generation. This is talking about Israel. God knew that his sheep were going to be scattered. And God wants us to know this morning that though the world many times have forgotten the people of God, they've forgotten Israel, God is saying, I want you to know the shepherd has not forgotten them. And God is still looking for that day when they're going to come home. They're going to be gathered, amen, into that fold once and for all. Praise God for that. God is looking for the fallen man this morning. God is looking for the far country man. God is looking for the faithful man. God is looking for that forgotten man. But I want to close this morning with this. There's someone else looking. Not only is the Savior looking, but there's someone else looking this morning. Someone looking for my grandchildren and my children. Someone looking for your grandchildren and your children. Someone looking for this community. Someone looking among the ranks, even in this church. Watch what the Bible said. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Just as sure as there is a Savior that's looking for that fallen man, Satan's looking for him too. The Savior wants to deliver that man. Satan wants to destroy that man. Just as sure as there's a man in the far country and the Savior of the world is looking for him, the Bible said Satan is seeking him. You see, whenever there's somebody wallowing in the mess of this world, There's a Savior that wants to help them up out of the mess. I like the old Westerns, don't you? I think Brother Eddie, you said Brother Bob liked them old Westerns, didn't he? And every once in a while in them old Westerns, just every once in a while, somebody gets caught up in quicksand. And you know, I've seen several things happen. If there's a horse, amen, they'll take and tie a rope to the horn on that saddle, on that horse, or around its neck if it don't have a saddle. And they'll throw a rope over in that quicksand. Let me say something. You don't have to beg that man in quicksand to grab onto the rope. You don't have to say, hey, buddy, hey, hey, hey. Let me tell you something right now. If you ever see yourself sinking deep in sin, I don't want nobody to have to beg you to grab onto the rope. When the Holy Ghost throws the rope out, you'll want to grab on and you'll want to get to safety. But then I thought about this. I've seen another way they do it, brother. They ain't got no horse, so they tie it to a tree. I mean, he's glad there's a rope tied to a tree. The tree is Calvary. And thank God, beloved, listen, we can be sinking, but we can get a hold of that rope and God get a hold of our lives and get out of that mess that we're sinking in. Brother Eddie, you're in law enforcement. And I spent 10 years of my life just trying to put them in jail, and I was trying to help them get saved while they was in jail. Amen. Trying to get them to see there's a Savior. But I used to tell men in the prison, I used to tell them often, I don't know why they don't name the stuff right. You know, they name a cigarette Lucky Strike. Why didn't they call it Lucky Strike Out? They got them pretty cans, and they're always with a pretty woman on a billboard. They call it Miller Low Life. No, they call it Miller High Life, but that's what it is, Miller Low Life. They give you some man with everything in the right place. He don't have that chest of drawers disease where his chest done fell in his drawers. You know what I mean? He got everything just right. And they put that can up there and say, Budweiser. It never did do anything but make people dumber. You say, preacher, you can't preach like that. When you've been on both sides of them tracks, you can if you want to. It'll make you do stupid things. It'll make you say stupid things. It'll make you regret the rest of your life. Oh, happy day. I told somebody, when I got saved, I didn't quit drinking. They said, what? I said, that's right. I just changed fountains. I got to drink of living water. Why do I need that mess anymore? Thank God. Jesus. There was one trying to deliver me, but there was another trying to destroy me. There was one that wanted me in heaven. There was another that wanted me in hell. Beloved, listen. I want to do my best the rest of my days to stand in the gap and tell people there's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. Amen. Beloved friend, the Father, the man that God's looking for. He's looking for the fallen man. Ever been a time in your life when you admitted to God that you were a sinner? A lost sinner? I tell you, if you've never been lost, you've never been saved. But beloved, if you've ever seen yourself lost and come to the Savior, Jesus has never met a sinner that He couldn't save. His arm is not shortened. His ear is not heavy that He cannot hear. But beloved, here in the Bible, God is looking for that fallen man. He's looking for that far country man. He's looking for that faithful man. He's looking for Israel, how we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. In doing so, we'd be praying for the coming of the Lord. Because that's the only time there's going to be peace. In that valley, amen. Someone else is looking also. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The girls sang a song this morning. They did a wonderful job. Bless the Lord, oh bless the Lord. I heard a group of children early on in my Christian life sing a little song. And one of the lines in the song said, "The devil and I, we both agree." And I thought to myself, what in the world could I agree with the devil about? And the next line said, "The devil and I, we both agree. The devil and I, we both agree. I hate him and he hates me. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed." Beloved, the devil hates us. He hates your home. He hates our church. He hates our community. Brother Steve, the devil hates this meeting that's coming up. He hates it with a passion. Brother Ralph, that kind of singing yesterday, brother, that stirred me up. Amen. That stirred me up. Brother Ralph, think about it. They may be 17, 18, 20 churches got together. I mean, there's 17 supporting churches of the meeting. But Brother Ralph, if it sounds that good, with just a few churches down here getting together, you tell me what in the world it's going to sound like when we get over yonder. Glory. And I get to nudge Brother Ralph and say, "Scoot over. I'm going to spend some time in the bass section." Amen. It's going to be wonderful. God's looking for a man. Will you be that man? Will you be that woman? We've got 2,000 invitations to hand out to this meeting. Maybe you've never given anybody a gospel tract in your life. Maybe you've never given anybody an invitation to church in your life. And you might be the one that God would use. Amen. Maybe you'd get in there and help us. Invite people to the house of God. Invite people to the meeting. I'm praying that they won't be able to get in the church. I believe if God had his way, I believe there'd be 500 in the prayer meeting somewhere else in the parking lot on their knees, begging God to shake our community for the glory of God. Amen. Beloved, there's a man that God's looking for. Fallen. Far country. A faithful man. The forgotten man. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Lord, I know that we spend our days looking for a lot of different things, but God, you are looking for what really matters. You're looking for men. Looking for men to save. Looking for men that will serve. You're looking, Lord, for men to restore. Lord, I'm glad that I serve a God that can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. I pray, Father, you'd work in hearts and lives here today. Help us, Lord.